The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
We've developed until now an evolving process of relationship with God. Through the attuning of our will to the divine will, our will becomes filled with divine significance. Our ability for relationship is increased, because relationship means there's me, yet there's God, and yet there's harmony, there's oneness, yet distinction. And the fundamental theme is the building of the Shekhinah, the building of that sense of relatedness to the divine, the indwelling spirit. And with each request, we become more and more attuned to that process of return, that sense of oneness and unity. And ultimately, we find that each request is presented with a greater sense of assertion, confidence. Not only in terms of how the request is presented, but even what we request. To the point that we say, take pleasure, God. Right? As if we're praying something for God, God, take pleasure in our prayers, and may we merit the return of the temple, which is that device which enables ourselves to coordinate our reality with divine reality. To bring about the manifestation of divine oneness, not only in terms of God's dominion and will, but in terms of the very reality of divinity will be revealed in the totality of its oneness. And we say, may we see with our eyes, right, the return of the Shekhinah. Okay, so we're at a real climax at this point. The individual has taken on not only a definition to the inclusion of other individuals, not only an individual, but to the inclusion of the nation, the world. But the individual has come to a point which would be referred to in Kabbalah as Mochin de Gadlut, which I think the best English translation is cosmic consciousness, where the individual experiences themselves to the inclusion of the entire universal reality, God. Not the entire universe, which is the sum of the parts of the universe, but we're talking about the whole, which is beyond and even before any details or any parts. So at that point, I'm able to say, take pleasure, God. At that point, I'm at the climax, I'm at a peak position to be able to say these types of things. But now, we once again bow. And this is called Modim Anachnu Lach. We thank you. We acknowledge. And it's connected to the notion of hod, which mystically is associated with submission. Mystically, in the 17th benediction, when we say take pleasure, it's as if we are now getting the expanded consciousness of the attribute of netzach. Netzach is power. And we sense that sense of power and the ability to ask for that which we ask for, to be able to see with our eyes the return of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. But then we receive Hod. And Hod is submission. And we're told over here that we must bow. Now the interesting thing is that the kind of bowing that we do here is not like any other bow that we've done until now. Because until now when we bow, what do? We bend our knees. We then bow our backs, and then we stand up. Okay? In Modim Anachnu Lach, we do not bend our knees, but we simply immediately bow. But why? The Talmud says that if a person does not bow at this point, their spine becomes a snake. You know what that means? Spine becomes a snake. Now, we're really at a very serious point. Because with each request, we've become more one with God. Our human identity becomes more filled with divine dignity, even though it's still a human identity. At this point, the spine, which is the symbol of stature, representing the ultimate goal, which in Judaism is the ability to stand before God and to encounter God face to face, that sense of confidence and that sense of self could over-evolve to the snake. Because remember what the snake said. You can be like Elohim. You can be an Elohim. There are many gods. Don't you feel that divine significance within yourselves? And certainly at this point, after praying, one feels such an incredible divine power. Do you recognize it's a gift? Because if you don't recognize it's a gift, then the stature of the spine becomes a snake. And so at this point, we bow down. Just as we have dedicated ourselves towards the building of the Shekhinah, the building of the relationship, the standing before God, at that peak point, it is most appropriate to nullify yourself. Just as we've developed that sense that something within tells me I'm something, now is the most appropriate point, and is the most dangerous point, if we do not acknowledge God's transcendence and realize, what am I anyways? So after, with each request, that sense of life is in my hands, prayer is an active involvement in participating in the direction of the world and what will be seen in the world, at that point one must bow and once again realize it's all in your hands. And all I have to do is say thank you. Now let's read it, because it sounds very, very strange. Modi menachnu lach. We thank you. Shatahu, that you are He. Very interesting. You are He. Hashem Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu. God, our God, and the God of our fathers, Le'olam Va'ed, forever. Tzur Chayenu, the rock of our lives. Magen Yishenu, the protector, the shield of our salvation. Atahu, you are He. Second time we said this, very strange, you are He. L'dor v'dor, forever. Nodelecha, we thank you. And we will speak of your praises. Al chayeinu hamsarim biyadcha, on our lives that are in your hands. Val nishmoteinu hapikudod lach, and our souls that are in your charge. Val nisecha shebechol yomimanu, and on your miracles that are with us every day. Val niflotecha, and the wonders v'tovatecha, and your goodness bechol eit, that is in every moment and every time. Whether it be Erev, Avokir, Tzaharayim, evening, morning, afternoon, Hatov, the good one, Kilo Chalu Rachamecha, your compassion has never ceased, V'hamirachem, and the compassionate one, Kilo Tamu Chazadecha, because your kindness has never ended, Me'olam Kivinu Lach, forever we aspire, we hope towards you, we long towards you. Val Kulam, and upon it all, Yitbarak V'yitraman Shimcha Malkeinu Tamid V'alam V'ed, on top of it all, may your name be increased and exalted, our King, forever and ever. V'kol ha'chayim yidu chasela, may all life acknowledge you forever. V'yalelu et shimcha b'emet, and praise your name in truth. Hakel yeshuateinu v'ezrateinu zela, the God, the Divine, our salvation and our help. Baruch atah Hashem, here we bow again. But this time we do bow at the knees. When we say Baruch, we bow at the knees. Atah, we bow our backs. And Hashem, we stand up. Hatov Shimcha, goodness is your name. Right? Ulacha ne'el ha'odot. And unto you it is befitting to give thanks. Now what is the fundamental theme of this? What am I saying? My life is in your hands. My soul is in your charge. Thank you for all the miracles and all the wonders and all the goodness. This almost seems to contradict everything I've just been doing until now. If everything was great, everything was wonderful, and everything was just miracles and goodness, and my life was in your hands and my soul was in your charge, why do I pray anyways? Do you see this? It seems a little strange. I just spent about 13 benedictions. I need this, and this guy's sick, and this is going bad, and this is this, and that, you know. The whole time here we're presenting, we're noticing, we're very clear on all the things that are missing, how things don't seem to be going in the right direction, and we're praying that they should go in the right direction. And after all of that, right, I just say, and by the way, thank you very much, because everything's going just fine. My life is in your hand, my soul is in your hand, there's just wonders, there's miracles, there's goodness, it never stopped, it never will stop. What's going on? What's going on is what we talked about the whole time. The paradox. Yes, life is in our hands. The way the world will look to us is determined by us in many ways. And we've got to recognize that imminent power that God has offered us to get involved, to pray, to do something, to make it happen. But then, simultaneously, although we've developed the encounter with God's imminent light, we must once again appreciate God's transcendent light, that all is in His hands. You must learn to let go. And is there really anything more befitting to say than thank you? But it's so funny, because the whole time I'm saying we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. And I say, and by the way, and to you is only befitting to say thank you. Everything's just fine. And this is the fine balance that the Jew lives with. The sense of personal responsibility to God. There is relationship, there's something you can do, and the sense that all is in God's hands. Everything's just fine. God is in control. And you must learn to submit yourself and recognize that your life is in God's hands. So I would say, in a manner of speaking, that the first 13 requests to the 14th Ritzei is somewhat of the Abrahamic process. But then, in Modim, we once again draw into ourselves the recognition of God as so encountered by Isaac. So I'd say that the whole process parallels the first three blessings. The first blessing we ended off with, protector of Abraham. But then remember, when we talked about Machayeh Meitim, the second benediction, it was also saying, Matira Sarim, Afech Olim, everything's in your hands. And so to here, we're basically recognizing once again, it's all in your hands. Everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. In fact, all I'd like to do is say thank you. Right. So let's go over it more specifically now. Thanking we are unto you. Now this is very interesting, because remember, we saw something familiar. Remember we said, Mode ani lefanecha. Thanking I am before you. But that's not what we're saying here. We're saying thanking we are to you. That's more of a nullification statement. To say thanking I am before you establishes that sense of relationship, that establishes that sense and that recognition that there is an I before God who stands in recognition and in acknowledgement and thankfulness. But over here we're not saying modim anachnu lefanecha, because that's not the point over here. The point over here is nullification. To recognize the hod, the submission that one must have. Whereas until now I've been developing and recognizing that I am a subject and partner in determining history, I must simultaneously remember that I am an object in the hands of the Creator, in the hands of the artist. And that's crucial to really understand life. When you really get involved in life, am I the subject or am I the object, or maybe I'm more than both? So at this point, modim anachnu lach, it's much more of a self-nullifying, much more humbling type of thing to say, sha'ata hu, that you, who's actually very close, very intimate, is really he, very far, very distant, and who do you think you are? saying you to he. Do you see this? We haven't seen this notion of you are he. But that's what we're recognizing, that the you, which is the encounter with God in the imminent manner, the encounter with God as so revealed as imminent, remember not as God is imminent, but as revealed as imminent, is actually the same God who is transcendent beyond and above, outside of the room, the he. And I need that for the balance. I need that. It's crucial for the balance. And I say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu, of course we recognize it's all balance. We include both sides into each other. The left is in the right, and the right is still in the left. That you are our Lord, Hashem Elokeinu, and the Lord of our forefathers. You are Tzur Chayeinu, the rock of our lives. Our lives are completely dependent upon you. And also the word Tzur, some of the commentaries say, is connected to the word Tzayar. What is a Tzayar? An artist. Suggesting you are the artist of our lives. Our lives are completely dependent upon you. What am I? I think I have independence. Mageni Sheinu, and you are the protector of our salvation. Now, Hirsch says the word Yishenu is connected to the word Yesh, which means thinghood. Or as he puts it, genuine being. You protect our genuine being. Even though our lives are completely dependent upon you, you are the rock of our lives through which we are completely nullified, you are still the protector of our Yishenu, suggesting again, Magen Avraham. Right? Remember, we don't just go from one side to the other side. We bring in elements of each side of the imminent within the transcendent within the imminent, as we're trying to bring about this balance. But then we say, Atahu, you are he. The whole time, all those requests was basically developing the notion that God is a you. Recognizing God and encountering God as the eternal you, and experiencing how much the eternal you is so much part of my personal definition. The imminent revelation of God. But now I have to recognize that the you is also a he. That although God is the rock and to whom next to we are nothing and upon which we are completely dependent, what real being do we have? We then recognize, yet you are the protector of genuine being. And even though you are the protector of genuine being, and that would mean that we can approach you as a you, we remember that you're a he forever and ever. No delicha, we will thank you and acknowledge you. We will speak your praises. That's what we'll do. The whole time we were requesting, and now we're just going to speak your... What is it, a request? Just speak praises. But that's the balance. That's the two sides. Al Chayenu, what will we thank you for? What will we sing praises about? Al Chayenu Hamsarim V'yadcha. On our lives that are in your hands. Our lives in your hands. Now, I would like to offer a suggestion to help make this more real. Very often people just read it and remains very abstract. But I find it personally very helpful to just pick one situation in your life that you felt that you could honestly have said the best way to describe it was, my life was in God's hands. One situation, I'm sure you can all think of a moment, a situation, some real vivid image. Where at that moment, if you were completely honest with yourself, the only way to articulate what you knew just happened to you was, my life in God's hands. Think about that. Right? Think about that. And I'll tell you why. We cannot appreciate how important memory is. Because memories do not only store and retain images, but the experience. The experience. Your whole life experience is right in here, and you could draw from it, and it can give you such energy, such vitality. There are moments in our lives that were just so high, We could have done so much, but we forgot them. At the time, we could have done so much, but time went on, we forgot them. But they were there. It's like, you know, if you've ever been driving your car and all of a sudden there's a song that goes on the radio and all of a sudden you feel down. And you don't know why. Just like that. For some strange reason, you feel this deep-seated sense of depression. Why? Very, very possible that that song was playing in the background in the restaurant where you had a fight with someone you really love the most. And even though you don't really recognize it, but that depression, that sadness has been linked and associated to that song. And whenever you'll hear that song, it will simply trigger and your mind, your memory will just give it back to you and you'll feel depressed. But then again, there's certain other songs that all of a sudden you just feel happy, energized. Because that song could have been just in the background. You didn't even notice it. But the mind picked it up and it became an association and it triggers off the positive energy that you remember. Now, it's very nice to be very abstract, thank you, thank you, thank you. But the truth is you want to plug into a real place of real gratitude. And that gratitude that you felt at that moment, in that situation where the only real honest words to describe what you knew and what you experienced were was to say that I was in the hands of a supreme being. That gratitude is yours forever. The energy, the drive that you could draw from that is incredible. So instead of being very abstract about it, just take one. I'm sure there's many. You don't need them. That one will be the door into all the others. Right? That one situation is all you need to access that deep-seated sense of gratitude that you knew at that moment and what it did for you at that moment. So think about on your life. Now, of course, it's referring more to your physical life, my physical life in your hand, because it then says, my soul in your charge. So try and remember a situation where you felt your physical life was endangered, and whatever happened was just, and you felt, or you could pick some other kind of image in terms of recognizing your life in God's hand, but find a situation that would plug you into that awareness, and the humbleness that it brought to you, to realize, wow, oh boy. And then on my soul that's in your charge, think of a spiritual moment in your life where you could have made that decision and for some strange reason somebody walked into your life and changed your entire life. And you say, wow. Right. Someone just came around and said the right words and you realize that spiritual salvation that was offered to you at that moment. And again, that will only be a door to enter into the gratitude that you felt in any situation like that throughout your life. And then on your miracles. Miracles. What miracles? Anyone see miracles these days? Well, that's a funny thing. Generally, people associate miracles with things that are unusual. Right? Like if the sea splits, that's a miracle. Right? Now, what's really a miracle? That the sea splits once, or if it would split every single day. You see, if the sea would have split every single day, it would no longer be called a miracle. Right? It would be, that's the way things go. But that's funny, right? Because it should be even a greater miracle. And it's one thing when someone sees a car just about to run over, God forbid, a baby, and the adrenaline starts flowing, it runs over, and somehow with brute strength holds the car back. You say, it's a miracle. But what would it mean if this guy, every single time, he walks down the street with one hand, he picks up a car. He says, that's nature. Why is it less amazing to do it more? To do it once is really amazing. But could you do it again? If you could do it again, isn't that even more amazing? And if you could do it again, even more amazing? Now, at that point, it's less amazing. Right? Why is seeing the sun set and rise each day any less miraculous than the seeing of the splitting of the sea? But it really doesn't have to imply that. Miracle, the word nes in Hebrew means a banner. It's clear, God. That's all it really means, the word nes. It's a banner, right? It's connected to the same word, nes. Like as we said in the Shemona Esrei, we say, raise up a banner, nes. Nes is a banner. The revelation of God and the hand of God is absolutely clear at this moment. And not only that, Rev Dessler has a very beautiful teaching about if a person can't see the miracle in the natural things, then they really will not be able to appreciate the miracles of the supernatural level. Right? And I only share with you a very interesting story that happened to me. I was one day walking in a park. I only share the story at the end of the program because at this point you'll think I'm crazy. But I was walking in a park and I saw something hovering in midair. Right? And it looked like a V shape and it looked like a thin tube and it was in midair and I saw it. You don't have to believe me, right?
Too many Israelites.
It was before I started Israelite. And I did not drink anything. Right? And I saw this thing hovering in the air, and it was about, I would say, about as high as the ceiling, hovering in mid air.
What was it, a V?
It was in a V shape, uh-huh. Right? In a V shape, and it looked tubular, and it was just hovering in mid air. And I saw this. Now again, you don't have to believe me, right? But it wouldn't make a difference if you did believe me or not, because I know I saw it. Now, of course, what do you do at that point? I mean, this is weird. Right? This is very, very strange. How could this thing be hovering in midair? What was even more strange is when it told me to take off my shoes. I'm joking. Okay. Just wanted to see how far I could take it. All right. It didn't. I was waiting, but it didn't. I said, maybe I am the Mashiach, but you're calling. You couldn't be. I don't know. You never know. But anyways, I wasn't. So, it didn't say anything to me. Now, of course, when you see something like that, what would you do? There's nobody else around. It's a very, very big park. This thing is hovering in midair. What would you do? It's very simple. What?
Try to touch it.
Oh, you can't touch it. I mean, what you can do is throw rocks at it.
Throw a rock at it.
So, I throw a rock at it. And I was standing there for an hour, just to show you my batting average in terms of being a pitcher for the Mets. I did not hit it. It was very, very thin, and it was moving. Right?
Jesus.
And I was throwing rocks at it. Right. Didn't hit it, and it didn't throw anything back to me, and it just was hovering in midair. Now, I didn't know what to do. I was there at least an hour and a half, 2 hours, trying to understand what this thing is. Right? I started thinking maybe it's controlled because I saw this car way off in the distance. Maybe it's remote control. I tried to see whether there was some kind of string connecting it to a tree. I couldn't see anything. It was just hovering in midair. Now, finally, I'm starting to think that I must be nuts. This is candy can, right? I must be nuts. Finally, some guy starts walking across the path in this park. So, of course, I run after the guy and say, hey, buddy, come here fast. I'm going to show you something. And he goes, yeah, what is it? What is it? I say, look at that. Right? And he looks and he goes, wow. I said, do you see what I see? He says, it's a V-shape something hovering in midair. I said, so you see it also? He said, yeah, it's amazing. I said, yeah, isn't it? He says, wow, see you later. And he walked away. You know what I'm saying? I walked away. I mean, I've been spending 2 hours here. And he looked at it. He said, wow. He said, that's really weird. I'll see you later. And he walked away. And that's when I realized, you know, I'm not so sure if one day in Tel Aviv Beach, everyone's like lying there getting their suntans. All of a sudden, the sea splits. Right? All of a sudden, one guy says, everybody, look at what's going on with this guy. Watch this. Boom. And the sea splits. Right? I'm not sure what would be the reaction anyways. I think, oh, wow. That's pretty good. Could you pull a rabbit out of your keeper? I mean, what else could you do? It wouldn't get them anywhere anyways. You know, people say, why aren't there miracles anymore? Right? What would it do anyways, really? Right? What would it do anyways Because ultimately, if I don't see the miracle in my ability to move my finger, the ability to think, the ability to hold my child, to see the sunset, if I don't see that, then what's the difference anyways? And so Rav Dessler has a very beautiful teaching that really, it is the small miracles that will prepare us for recognizing the big miracles. If we don't recognize the small miracles, if we don't recognize God's hand in that which is so clear in front of our noses, then even if it's something strange, we'll just call it something strange and we'll forget about it the next day. Right? And we'll wonder, did we see it in the first place? And I don't know what it was.
Right? You never found out?
Never found out. It saw me leave. After 2.5 hours, I couldn't stay there any longer. No, just stayed. It was my size. Not so big, right? It was my size. It was very big. And it was just hovering in mid-space. And I couldn't hit it with a rock. I'm glad. I don't know what would have happened if I did.
Yeah, what color
but
was it?
It was a dark gray. I'm telling you, it was a thin, it looked tubular, it looked like maybe out of rubber. It was a thin V, and it just hovered. I mean, I hate to say it, but it looked a little bit like that, right? And it was just hovering in midair.
Sounds,
and that's it?
Sounds like an aerial, the shape of a TV aerial.
A TV aerial that looks like this? Like that, hovering in midair? I don't know what your TV aerial looks like, and I don't know who put up an aerial in the middle of a park that has no strings attached and has nothing that it's supported on, and it's just hovering in midair. It's like this. Saying, hi. What?
Nobody else in the park?
Except this guy who looked at it and said, wow, and walked away. Am I curious? No, I'm just impressed that there are various things in the world that I don't understand. And that God wanted me to understand that day. Right? That things aren't the way you perceive them always. But anyways, Nisecha, there are miracles every day. Right? Every moment I open my eye, it's a miracle. It's not a miracle. Of course it's a miracle. And that's why I say all the miracles that are with us each day. What miracles are you talking about that are with us each day? There are miracles with us each day, the Jews believe. Right? Just depends what kind of glasses you're wearing, if you're ready to see them and you want to see them. And al niflotecha, the wonders. There are wonders. Right? And there is goodness. And basically everything's going just fine and the world is just on target. And that's the other side of the coin of life that we also recognize because God is transcendent and all is in His hands. And this is every afternoon, evening, when it's the low times of my life, morning when it's the high time and I'm really excited, and the transition between morning and evening. The good one, because your compassion is always. The compassionate one, because your goodness never stops forever. And upon it all, what do I want from all these miracles that I see? May your name be increased in the world. That's the only justification for all these goodnesses that the Jews can see. That what is the point of getting a present from your friend? To have it? No, it's to receive it. And to know it's from your friend. And to be able once again to recognize their name and the ability to call on their name. This is what Jews live with. The sense of that all the goodness in my life, on top of all that goodness, right, may the ultimate ramification of having a life of such blessing be the increase in God's name, because that is the ultimate blessing that Jews believe in. The possibility to know the divine name. And to be able to call on a divine name and be in a state of relationship with God. That's it. That's all we want. That deep sense of divine love and relationship between man and God. Which of course we believe sets the context and the foundation for that to be manifest between mankind and fellow mankind. So upon it all, may there be an increase in exaltation of your name, our King, forever and ever. And what will happen when there be an increase in your name, and then all of life, kol ha'chayim, will acknowledge you. All the goodness that the Jews recognize in their lives, they see as only important to the extent that it has put forward the increased manifestation of God's name and the availability of relationship with God, so that all of life, kol ha'chayim, all of life will acknowledge you, and they will praise your name in truth. Right? They will begin to praise your name. Fantastic, a name. Mysterious. God has made for himself, so to speak, a name so others can call out to him. God, our salvation, our helper. Baruch Ata Hashem. May there be an increase in the manifestation of you, God, as known through Hatov Shimcha. Goodness is your name. Now, you could say that the name of God is goodness. You could interpret it that way. Hatov Shimcha. Right? The goodness is your name. Or this simply means the goodness is your name. What is the goodness? What is the goodness? What else is the goodness in the world if it's not God's name for the Jewish people? That ability to call out, that's the goodness. All this other stuff, you know, my life in your hands and the miracles and this and that. And I want to thank you for all the goodness. Blessed be you, good. Hatov, the good, is your name. Shimcha, that's the good. That's what's really good if I could live with the knowledge of the divine name, with the confidence that winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Right? That's what Jews believe in. Ulachana Elahodat. Goodness is your name. That's really the ultimate goodness, the ability to call upon your name. And what is befitting to say when I call upon your name? Thank you. Now, before, what was the ability to be able to call upon God's name? A sense of responsibility. God responds to you. There's relationship. I have my requests. I need this. I need that. God, please, you know. But goodness is your name. And really, ultimately, all I'd like to say is thank you. I now call your name not only to request. I recognize what's really befitting is to say thank you. Just to say thank you. Because there is just so much goodness in the world. It's so easy to see all the bad things. We're experts at that. Right? People have an amazing memory. They remember all the bad things people said to them. They remember all the bad things that happened to them. And they forget all the good things. Right? They forget all the good things. Someone could say to you 100 times, you're great, you're wonderful, you're sweet. One person says you're a jerk. And that's the one you remember forever. Right? You know what they called me? You forgot 100 people said, you know what that guy called me? And that stays in your mind. It's an amazing thing. Right? There's just much, much more goodness, I believe. Although I'm sure we're not being unrealistic about this. It's tragedy, yes, of course. But let's start remembering also the goodness. Right? We know what's missing. We just spent 13 blessings because we feel there's something missing and we feel we have the power to intercede and to call upon God, and we believe God would answer us. But then we have to remember, next time you call on God and you're about to ask for something, maybe recognize, oh, you know, by the way, oh yes, what was it that you wanted? You know what? I just wanted to say thank you. Right. I just wanted to say thank you before I have any requests, because really, you know, really, who am I anyways? Is there really anything missing? Right. And of course, that's the two sides. Yes, something's missing, you can pray. Yes, nothing missing, just say thanks. Because right? Life is in your hands, but yet life is still in God's hands. And so that's the balance. The Abrahamic confidence of prayer, the Isaac submission and surrender, because all is in God's hands. And everything is going to be all right. In fact, not only is everything going to be all right, it already is all right. Because miracles fill every moment of our days. And now we come to the last benediction, which is the unification. And of course, what would it be? Peace. That's what it's all about. Peace, completeness, oneness. The word peace, shalom, comes from the word shalem, which means to be complete. And now we're complete. Now we're ready to pray for completeness. Because we're complete, we have recognized and encountered God as so revealed, as imminent, close, intimate. And we have surrendered and testified to His awesome transcendence. We have recognized how close God is to us. We have recognized how far God is to us. We are now complete in the context of God's real oneness. And that oneness is the light of peace. Because for the Jewish people, what is peace? Peace doesn't mean we all agree on the same thing. That isn't realistic. I don't think there'll ever be a world where everyone will agree on the same thing. I think it'll be a very sad world. You know, diversity, variety, spice of life. That. But peace is that oneness that can include the diversities and yet still remain one. And so at this point, we pray for peace. Sim shalom tova v'racha. Place, establish peace, goodness, blessing, chen v'chesed, favor, grace, kindness, compassion upon us and all of Israel, your nation. Let us have it, all the blessings of relationship, of unity, kindness and grace, and compassion, goodness. Barchenu Avinu, bless us, our Father. Kulanu, all of us, ke'echad, as one. Ba'or panecha, with what? With the light of your face. That's the blessing. What is God going to bless me with? The countenance of God, His face, that I may merit to see the divine face. So bless us, Father, all of us as one, with the light of your face. That's all Jews want. That's what they got at Sinai. And that's what every mitzvah is. Constantly reproducing in every moment of the Jew's life is that face-to-face with God once again. Every mitzvah is as if we're standing under the chuppah with God, so to speak, of course, under the canopy with God, and we say, you who have sanctified us, asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav, the word kiddishanu is the very same word that the groom says to the bride, hari at mikudeshet li. Every mitzvah is like accepting the ring of God, so to speak, in matrimony, of betrothal, of that kind of oneness. That's what it represents for the Jewish people, experientially. And so it's that face-to-face. That's the blessing that Jews believe in. And of course, this is not just like theological, wonderful face-to-face, but the ramifications is again that life of responsibilities, that ability to respond. Where do I get this from? Who am I to ask this? Right? Bless us with your face. Ki ba'or panecha natata lanu Hashem Elokeinu Torat Chaim v'Avat Chesed. Because God, with the light of your face, you gave us Torah, the love of kindness, of righteousness, of blessing, of compassion, of life, and peace. That's what all those things represent. The Torah is the manifestation of the possibility for the face-to-face with God. The love for kindness is the implication, the behavioral implication of a person who lives in a direct relationship with God. And the desire for tzedakah, charity, of righteousness, of blessing and compassion, of life and peace, and all these things are derivatives of that sense of relationship with God. V'tov beinecha, and it is good in your eyes to bless your nation in every hour, in every moment, with your peace. Your kind of peace. Right, what's God's kind of peace? Right, with peace, say, and bless us with peace. But with your peace. Because the peace in our dictionary, the oneness in our dictionary, is the opposite of many. But God's peace is a different kind of oneness. Yeah. And generally, unfortunately, people think peace means that we agree. We're very similar. We're the same. That's not really peace. Real peace is, We're very different. But we're one. We're really one. Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed be you, God. Hamivarechet Amo Yisrael Bashalom. He who is blessing his nation, Israel, with peace. That's the whole theme of Jewish life. We want to build a world of peace, which is itself a world of love. And that's what it's all about. So that was the whole 18 benedictions. We have come full swing into complete oneness with God. I as an individual, but the individual recognizes that my I includes other individuals, the nation, the international, the universal, the divine. However, of course, we can't forget, why is it that we didn't leave off with a universal note? Wouldn't that be a little nicer? We just said, V'kol ha'chayim, may your name be exalted, made great, so that all life will acknowledge you and recognize you. So now why? Why not end off with, he who blesses the world with peace? Right? But that's fundamental in Judaism. That we are practical. We have two ladders. There's the ladder of ideals, and then there's the ladder of practical. Jewish ideals is the love for all of mankind. But on the top of the ladder of the practicality is the love for your nation. Because that's just the way it is. Before you can go out there and love the world, you've got to love those people who are of your immediate family. Those people who have shared their destiny with you. Their past, their future. And so therefore we end off with a very practical note that we want peace for Israel because we believe that when Israel will enjoy peace, then ultimately that is the conduit when there will be world peace. And everybody knows that what's going on in this little piece of land here in Eretz Israel has ramifications worldwide in terms of world peace. That's why it's so crucial to everybody. Right? It's not just like a little another one of those wars. Yeah. But the superpowers are very concerned because it's from here that big explosions can happen, far-reaching in terms of the ramifications of the entire world. So we believe that the peace for the Jewish people will ultimately be the stepping stone towards the peace of the world. Yeah. But there's certainly enough source material to prove that the highest ideal of the Jewish people is to see peace for the world, that the house of God will be a house of prayer for all people. That's clear. But when we're praying, we've got to also recognize the more immediate needs. And so that is the end of the 18 benedictions. However, right when you finish that, there's a very important statement. And it is generally right underneath the Sim Shalom. Yehi l'ratzon im reifi. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be according to your will before you. God, my rock, upon whom I'm completely dependent, to whom next door I'm truly nothing, V'goali and my Redeemer. Remember, we talked about redemption is the restoration of personal adequacy to the individual. And therefore, I have again said, may my will, my words, my heart be attuned and synchronized with your God, yours, God, as before you in relationship, God, who is both my rock and my Redeemer. At that point, technically, if you were to hear what's called the Kedusha after the repetition, after everyone does the silent Amidah, they do the repetition in a congregation, there would be certain blessings and Kedusha and Kaddish aspects of it that you would answer to because you're considered basically finished. Otherwise, you're not allowed to answer any Amains or any Kaddish or Kedushas if you are before this point. Rather, you just stand there quietly and listen. If they start the Kedusha, they start the Kaddish. And now we have a concluding prayer. This is a conclusion. This is not really part of the 18 benedictions, but it is a concluding prayer based on what we just did. Because remember, the 18 benedictions is an avoda. It's not just a prayer. It's work. And what's the work? It's called the unifications, yichudim. I'm unifying my will with God's will, standing in relationship with God, and I am aspiring to ultimately the unification of my reality with the divine reality. So now, after that avoda, when people really would daven, they come out sweating, you should know. I mean, you establish your will, you connect it to God's will, and you want to bring it into the world. I mean, it really is an avoda. But now we have a concluding remark. Elohai, my God. Remember that one? Way back when we talked about the five levels of soul, we pointed out, Elohai, neshama, netat, shenetat, bitahorahi, my God, my God. The Vilna Gaon said, suggests the highest level of soul, yechida, where a person senses their complete oneness with the universal soul itself, the most direct expression of God. To say, my God, you can imagine what a height we're at. We've established ourselves, we've nullified ourselves, and we have unified the two into a harmony of peace and oneness. And now we say, my God, guard my tongue from evilness, my lips from speaking deceitful. Why do I say that? Well, what does that have to do with prayer? I don't want to speak Lashon Hara, I don't want to speak deceitfully. What does that have to do with anything? But if I just use my mouth as such a holy vehicle to express my will and unify with God's will, and ultimately be a vehicle for the will of God to be manifest in the world, God forbid, I would not want to use it in such a vile manner. To do that, after I've just tasted the power of speech, and how the mouth can serve my will and God's will, and unify the two, I would not want to use my mouth in any other manner, especially after I've just tasted how powerful the power of my speech is. I would not want that sense of power to then lead me to deceit and trickery. V'lim kalalai nafshi tidom. And to those who curse me, those people who do use their power of speech to curse me, may my soul be silent. I don't even care. I am so solid, I am so established, that you're not even worth answering to. Right? Doesn't even bother. You say it, rolls off my back, couldn't care less. I feel so in touch with myself and where I'm going. Nothing can push me off. V'nafshi kafar l'kol tiyah. And please, may my soul be always like the dust to all. I want to, after I have tasted the power of my speech, what I say with that is I want to always be in that humbled state of what am I? I'm dust anyways. Patach libi b'toratech. Open my heart to your Torah. You think this is the end? You know, when a person really learns how to pray, and you know, we went through it, but this takes years of practice. It is so sweet. It can provide such an ecstasy, such a real encounter with God, that one could become content with that. And say, maybe I should pray all day. Which there were certain people that did take that approach and said, no, I don't get that same buzz when I study Torah. I go out and start doing mitzvahs. So maybe I should pray. But no, we see prayer only as a means to setting up the context so that I can learn with that sense of encounter with God. And I can do my responsibilities with that awareness of relationship to Hashem. So therefore, of course, it would make sense. First of all, I say, you know, I don't want to use my mouth in the wrong way after I just used it in such a right way. And now that I've tasted that power and that beauty, that depth of prayer, I pray that it leads me to studying Torah, to know what I have to do. It's wonderful to have that direct relationship with God. Wow, wow. But now I have to be real. What are the principles that express that relationship daily? What are the activities that establish it and testify to it? Right? We believe a person who is irresponsible, right, and doesn't really care about the principles of life, but they love to pray, we don't believe that's a real concern for relationship. Because if you really, you know, you love somebody, so we love to sit and talk. Let's sit and talk. If you really love somebody, what you really want to do is know, what are the basic rules of our relationship? What are the fundamental little responsibilities that continue the relationship? It's nice to talk, and we have so much to talk about, and when we're together, the conversation flows. But if after all that talk, you don't act responsibly to your beloved, right? So then what is all this talk anyways? Right? So therefore, of course, we then pray for Torah, mitzvot, and we say, and all those who think badly upon us, quickly uproot their counsel and their thoughts. Right? Nobody. I'll be so in sync with life through prayer, through Torah learning, and through the performance of mitzvot. I'll be so in sync that nobody is going to put me off. Nobody. Whatever anybody thinks bad about me, just quickly cast off their counseling. Haseilam an shemecha, God, do it for your name's sake, which is the sake of that relationship. Haseilam an yiminecha, do it for your right hand's sake, because it is the right hand with which God gives to man his sense of self, enabling him for that relationship. Haseilam an kedushatecha, do it for the sake of your transcendence. But remember, the transcendence that includes Haseilam an toratecha, do it for the sake of the Torah, because the Torah are those principles that manifest that relationship. Leman, do it for the sake yichaltzun yididecha. Do it for the sake of liberating your friend. Who's your friend? This is amazing. We, at this point, refer to ourselves as your friend or your beloved, yididecha. Hoshia mincha ve'ineni. Stretch out your right hand and answer me. Right? Why with your right hand? Because again, it's the right hand that represents God giving to man that sense of self. And with that, answer me. Right? So this is a full desire for the expression of that relationship with God. And once again we say, Yehi l'ratzani m'refivi agunli bi lefanecha, Hashem tzuri v'goli. May it be according to your will, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart before you, God, my rock and my redeemer. Right? May I always be in sync. And now comes the final choreography. Right? We take three steps back. But now we take the three steps back, starting with our left foot. We went into the 18 benedictions, starting with three steps with our right foot, expressing our willingness to enter into the relationship and dialogue with the divine. But now we start with our left foot, suggesting that we reluctantly have to leave this state of closeness. And a person, if they really daven, they'd feel like that. You know what I mean? They you know, your right is always, your market said, go, you know. But, you know, your left suggests like, I really want to leave this. This is so sweet. So we take three steps back. Right? Where are we taking three steps back from? Well, we were in the world of will. But now we got to take three steps back to the world of thought, back the world of speech, and back to the world of action, and we have landed, right? Back to the good old world, where now we got to do something. It's wonderful to be in this state, this high, lofty state of, wow, relationship with God, woo! So high, it's great. But then we have to walk back out of there, right? And into the world of action. What does all this mean in terms of my practical life? Right. It's very nice to sit around and pray, but it's not very nice if it doesn't have any meaning in terms of my practical life here on earth with that nitty-gritty, apparently mundane responsibilities that I have to do today. Right. And so after I pray, get in my car, I go to the business, and I've got all kinds of things, but that prayer set up that context, that whatever I will do will be within the context of my relationship with God. And that will be a different businessman, that will be a different lawyer, that will be a completely different doctor, politician, a person who stands in relationship to God is a different kind of person, if it's a real relationship with God. And now, it's hard to conclude with these things. And now we have another concluding statement. Now what we do, I'm sorry, to finish that off, we say, Oseh Shalom Bimramav. We take three steps back. And we say, Oseh Shalom Bimramav. And we bow to the left. He who does peace in the higher realms, Hu Yaseh Shalom, we bow to the right. He will bring peace upon us. And then we bow in the middle, Val Kol Yisrael V'Yumram Hein. Now what is this? Left, right, middle. It's everything we've been doing the whole time. Left. When I bow to the left, it's as if I am acknowledging God's right. What is God's right? The hand that gives to man. The greatest kindness is to give a person their sense of self, the possibility for relationship. And I acknowledge that. And then I bow over to my right, which is acknowledging, so to speak, divine left, which is that surrender. Right? He who does peace in the heavens and gives place and space for us to do it on earth, who? He will do it on earth. Right? I don't mean God who does peace in heaven. God is always doing peace in heaven. Right? The higher realms, the will of God is always being performed. And we have the choice to choose whether we want to coordinate our wills and bring that into our world. Hu Yaseh Shalom, and yet He will bring peace. On our earth, we bow over to the right, acknowledging divine left, and we bring it together, the unification of the right, the left, the middle, V'Yimru Amen, may we all say Amen. That's really what we've been trying to do. That's Judaism. Judaism wants to embrace life with both their right and their left. With their right that suggests that I have power, I can do something. With their left that suggests I must accept the decree and surrender. And with the middle, which is the unification beyond the two, in acknowledging God's oneness as so manifest, and that I am both subject and yet object. And now we have our final request. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, may there be a will from before you, God our God, Elokei Avoteinu, the God of our fathers, Shibana Beit HaMikdash b'mheira b'yameinu. We are not satisfied. We want to once again make it clear that we want the Beit HaMikdash, that as sweet as prayer is, we're still incomplete without the Beit HaMikdash. And we want to make it clear, we want our portion in Torah, and we do not see prayer as a substitute for the study of Torah, rather actually a preparation for the study of Torah. And there we will actually worship you. With that sense of your transcendence and our distance, even though right now we are feeling so close, like the good old days. Olam ukshanim kadmaniyot. God will bring about that offering of Judah in Jerusalem as in those days, in the years before. We will once again return to that harmonious state of relationship with God, in a state where the non-duality of God is clearly visible throughout the entire earth.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.